It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, but there's a lot of reason to be relatively concerned. What we're doing is we're following a story that, I'm going to spend 2 hours just telling you why the drug war and illegal immigration are never, ever, ever going to get fixed. There's a reason. And we've lived it here, being in a border state, Arizona, and New Jersey political corruption's got nothing on us. It goes way back. And we're going to talk about reporters getting blown up. We're going to talk about corrupt politicians and law enforcement. We're going to talk about the federal government agencies of the InfraGuard, FBI, DEA, Homeland Security, NSA, President's Office. It all intertwines. Yeah, it's just an amazing tapestry of conspiratorial blah, blah, blah. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to skip to the end, tell you what this is about, and then give you how little pieces of this in the tapestry of what we do starts to weave together. And you go, wow, man, that's an interesting story. Well, a lot of it's, it's documented. It's not, like a lot of these conspiracy things. They just go, well, look, I didn't make it up. Here's all that. It's just how this interweaves with this. I'll tell you how it started. I get a call this morning from a politically active individual that's in, Officer N. One of the parties and all that kind of stuff. Doesn't matter. He's like, Ernie, I'm writing a story. We'll have it up tonight. So we'll have it up there. The thing is that it's just a take on a lot of information that's already coming out in lamestream media now. But it's always, especially here in Arizona, it has to be in the New York Daily News before the Arizona Republic will write about it. When everybody else on the planet knows, they're going, maybe we should say something because damn, So I have acquaintance with the editorial page editor. His name's Ken Western. Now, Ken and I go back in the day. He used to be the editor of when you did guest columns into the Arizona Republic. It would be, hey, Ernie, would you, whatever on whatever it was. Well, then he became the editorial page editor. His job's a little bit different then. It's not just to, fill the space on the opinion column with, what the crazy libertarian might have to say about something. It is, he's got the opinion of the editorial board, which is the publisher, the owner, the paper, you get to keep your jobber, okay? That kind of thing. So I don't put a lot of pressure on them. I just, every now and then to their advantage or mutual advantage or something, there's some reason why we should talk, I'll give them a call, once, twice a year. And it just so happens. He'll answer, there's cutbacks or something, or every now and then he'll just answer his own phone instead of his secretary. It's amazing. It's like he may not, and he goes, Ernie, I don't pick up that phone for months. And every time I do, you're on the phone. I go, Ken, see, you answered your phone again. Oh, see, you got Ernie. So the question that I had for him, Maricopa County Sheriff Deputy, and they have deputies that are part of the corrections officers in the prisons. There is a gentleman that worked for him named Alfredo Navarrete. He's 37. And he was caught in a drug ring, people smuggling, all the stuff that they're all against and everything. He was right in the middle of it. and in a perfect position to be able to coordinate and contact and use and whatever people that were in the system that, you know, help facilitate whatever little pipeline thing they had going on. Now, of course, this starts coming out in other main newspapers and such, and Arizona Republic's got, dang it, I've been through this before with them. They're part of the machine here, and for them to bring anything out is because everybody knows it anyway. So I'm going, all right. The person that told me, I knew this was going on back in the background. I just, yeah, whatever. You know, what else is new? You have illegal drugs and immigration. You create a black market. There's enormous, enormous money. Now, this goes in with what we were talking about last Thursday and Friday. And my experiences with Sheriff Joe Arpaio, how we know each other, yada, yada, yada. But the bottom line is this. He was DEA. And the first thing that he wanted to do is put a bubble. We're putting a bubble over Maricopa County. And we're going to search every freaking car. We're going to get this drug thing taken care of. Well, we knew what that meant. That's eliminating competition. You know, yeah, we don't have no competition. It's whoever I allow to come through or how they're going to do it. I'm just, you know, save it, you know. So all this plays into this. What happened was a gentleman that's, you know, we're going to be releasing a lot of information, and I hate doing this, delaying it, because that's what gets you killed. If it's like, oh, he's going to tell, boom, I guess it's not going to get told anymore. That's why I'm telling you now, so that it's already out there. What happened in the late 70s, there was a reporter named Don Bowles. He was an investigative reporter for the Arizona Republic. Now he has his own little wing at the News Museum in Washington, D.C. Ben Affleck, the actor, director, was talking about, and we have links on all of this on today's archive for the show, Ben Affleck was going to be doing a documentary on this story. So when that came out a couple years ago, freaked everybody out here. I mean, in the politics there, because, man, you know, this is a story. Ooh, the country know about this, and they're not hiding anymore. So this has been of interest to a lot of people for a long time, even to Hollywood. The News Museum in Washington, D.C. has his blown-up car as one of the featured, I don't know what they call them, exhibits there. A featured exhibit is his old Datsun B210, whatever the heck it was. Now, a bomb was placed underneath the driver's seat. Bloom. What I learned from that, I was in high school at the time. What I learned from that was you do not accumulate dangerous information. You make sure any and everybody knows it as you know it, so they got to take out everybody or get their little worm internet thing going on or something, which is one reason why they have to get control of this internet thing. This just doesn't happen on a local level. This is global stuff, man. They just, heck no. Did you know we have a story on the weekend? The French government made it illegal for media to even mention the words Facebook and Twitter. It's illegal for them to say it now. What? Now they say, well, it's a commercial enterprise and, you know, you shouldn't be given free commercial by saving the words and blah, blah, blah. Because they got, you know, their own problems with the people rising up and so on. They just made it illegal. Sounds like Great Britain. Okay. So I'm going to tell you a story. When we'll start it in the next segment. I'm going to start from the beginning, and I'm going to tell you a story of how these various different organizations came around before the internet, then it hit the internet, then the people started to find out all this stuff, and all the government agencies that got intertwined into trying to suppress it, hide it, or a part of it. Drugs and immigration, two very, very lucrative endeavors for government agents and drug kingpins, of course, and you know, you're confusing. I think there's a difference between two anyway. They thrive on this prohibition. That's the whole point. Saturday afternoon, I did an interview with a gentleman named Bradley Jardis. He's a law enforcement former in New Hampshire that was traveling here, came to visit with us Saturday, and we did a show. We'll put the link up there to that too. He joined law enforcement against prohibition, and what happened to him as an officer, he just decided he didn't want to be a cop no more. All intertwined. We'll talk about it when we come back in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Propagandy, propagandy. If you want to fool the folks, it comes in handy. If you want to tell some lies, pull the wool over their eyes, you can do it with propagandy, propagandy, propagandy. You can liberate the babies from their candy. It's so easy, it's a sin, you're gonna want to jump right in. You can always depend on propagandy.
Yeah, propagandy. It's all over, everywhere, constantly, all the time. We get it, and we're just trying to, you know, like, muscle our way through. I'm going to tell you a story, and this is going to be, you can rewind and do at your leisure in the future. Sierra, bring this camera down just a little bit. It's a little bit too low. The what I'm going to do is go ahead and walk you through what I know. And this is, it's complicated, but it's really quite simple. I'm going to skip to the end, and then we'll go back and tie it in. I had a gentleman, he sent me a some information, and he asked me about, because he'd known I've done some stories on this in the past. And he goes, Ernie, there's some new information coming up that's linking all this stuff. And in fact, there may be a family relations between some of the people you've covered in the past and the next generation going on here. That is what we're confirming. There are reporters at the Arizona Republic here that are writing something about it, but it seems like it's a little bit more kind of distraction put over here kind of thing and not what's really going on. So I'm just like, all right, you know, I just want to let you know, FYI, man, I'm checking on this. And, you know, uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies of, you know, like the lamestream media so last century thing. So I've been doing this for a long time. They know that, oh, dang it, Ernie, ooh, man, he's not letting us, you know, get away with stuff. So I'm going, look, I just need to know this one question. Are these particular people related? They have said, I can't confirm that yet, but it still brings up the same thing, the matter anyway. So this is what's going on. The Sheriff's Department has three people that, you know, are involved in this thing. I mean, don't care. You can go look at it and so on. This is, you know, this stuff happens. You don't even have to look at the details. What has happened, the details that we do know, is that there are sheriff employees that are involved in drug smuggling and people smuggling and have access to incarcerated individuals of these, their contacts, working in, managing, they're getting out, doing, got a pipeline going from the border up to here. And you hear a lot about these Border Patrol guys that are on the take, and you have the Minuteman and the people patrolling. So I know a lot of these guys. They are telling me that there are other groups that are there that are not necessarily, yeah, we're looking for a illegal immigrant, drug smuggling, kind of turn them over to Border Patrol tab. No, we got this section covered. You guys go cover that. And then they're paid off to have the drugs and people just pipelined right into Arizona and the United States of America. Okay? So these people, it's always the infiltrators are who? They're always the guys that show up first. They leave last. They do the most work. They want the shiny badge. They want to be a position of. They become the secretary, treasurer, head, VP, the director of, kind of blah, blah, blah. And that's always what happens. You create an organization. Sooner or later, you know, the organization is used as a handle to do whatever the heck bad guys want to do anyway. I give you every freaking government-regulated agency on the planet. You know, you think sooner or later the special interest that benefits or could be harmed by such an agency actually doing whatever they promised they're going to do, you think they don't go in there and get charge of it? It's like Goldman Sachs and everything to do with anything about the economy. You know, you have Monsanto in there. You get my drift? You think it just stops at other branches? Oh, they wouldn't do it there. That would be wrong. You know, I'm going, man, you guys need to get over your naivete. So in the today's archive, what I did is I put an interview that I did in, I think it was 2005, with a gentleman. His name is Frank Navarette. Frank Navarette was the liaison to Ridge, which was the head of the Department of Homeland Security, and each state had one guy that was the liaison from them to the governor. Now, the governor of the state here was Janet Napolitano, now head of Homeland Security. Janet Napolitano's got her own little history. We'll talk about that and refresh your memory on that a little bit. What happened was Frank Navarette was brought in as the guy, Now, out of 50 guys in the whole planet, 50 guys we're going to select from to be in this position that will answer to the head SOB in charge at the top of Homeland Security. Okay? So here we have him. He's sitting up there. We're going to have a conference call with all 50 states' representatives, and we're going to tell them what for. The guy here in Arizona, Frank Navarrete. What happened was Sheriff Joe Arpaio had a radio show on the same station that I was at. I did a daily show there, and he had one that was just 1 hour or two or something. I think it was just an hour on Wednesday nights. And it gave him an opportunity to whatever the heck he wanted to do, and his followers went up, and they, yeehaw, we love Joe. So we're on the same station. You know, I'd do live coverage from something, and he'd be there, and I'd be reporting in, and then we'd yak and whatever he's going to. Yeah, it's a long story. So what we did is invited this guy, Frank Navarrete, to come on the show. Now, of course, he's thinking it's the same station as Sheriff Joe Arpaio. I was just on Joe Arpaio. It's in the same studio. I drive to the same place. I know this place. That was a good interview. Yeah, I'm going to yeehaw. Going to go on Libertarian Ernie, where a liber what? You know, he didn't know. So he was 61 at the time. This was 5-6 years ago. And he comes in. I was surprised that he showed up. As I'm sitting there prepping for the show, he was probably 10-15 minutes early. He's sitting across the table from me, and I'm just getting, you know, articles up and things, and so I'm doing regular show, and then of course I'll be interviewing him. And he'll tell me about yourself, you're from, and this and that, whatever. And as I'm typing, he's trying to impress me, you know, give me, you know, some information. Yeah, I this and I that, and I was with that. And he's thinking I'm distracted by doing something. Really, I'm typing what he's saying because it's fascinating. And I'm going, oh, I'm just acting like I'm kind of preoccupied. You know, you're not impressing me enough. I don't know. Share more goodies. A little bit more. Come on. Come on. What about? And what about? And the whole time he's talking, I'm typing in this stuff and doing some searches on it. By the time we start the show, I already got a good, you know, 15-year bio on him of the time segment that I want to make sure gets out at the beginning of the show. Well, it's Frank Navarrete that did this, was that, working on this, he did this, he went here, we don't know what that was about, come now, he's here. Say hello, Frank. Oh, he was white. He's like, damn, I don't think I wanted any of that stuff going out. I was just trying to impress you, man. You know, I didn't want everybody to pull that all together. So that's how it started. Once I got, all he was there was to confirm different things. And we'll talk about the interview in a little bit and what we learned. But this is a scary part. It's who he was before and where he went and why he was selected as one of the 50 people to begin the Department of Homeland Security. I mean, you can wonder, you know, anybody that's been involved in this kind of stuff, you start off the CIA. You start off the NSA, you start off the Department of Defense's Pentagon SEAL team and go and get and doing whatever little structure you have. You start off with Department of Homeland Security. Guess what? Your top 50 guys, they're there for a freaking reason. We're going to talk about it. I'm just prepping you, letting you know what's going on here so you can see and put this all together. Those of you that think government's going to fix this stuff or can, is just, you know, the road's going to fall off of that stem, know what I mean? You stay right there. I'll give you more when we come back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona, where I'm going to try and save my life by making sure y'all know everything that I do when I know it. That's how I've been able to survive all this stuff. This was the thing that I learned from the investigative reporter, Don Bowles. Now, you take a look at those on video. I can put up the screen. You'll see this Datsun, and the front seat is gone. The door's open, and underneath the seat is a big, giant, peeled back hole where the seat used to be underneath the steering wheel. It's just peeled back four ways. Looks like a pomegranate. Just peeled open, and it blew off his legs. He survived 11 days. And he long enough that he was able to identify a lot of things going on in my files are and this and that and so on. It's a fascinating story. I'm going to share it with you what happened. There was, in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, and up to now, of course, there has been enormous, you know, they didn't even see it as political corruption. They saw it as us versus them, I guess. You know, the gangs that were in large cities, the mafia, the organized crime, they would leave in vacation or go to Arizona. There was a place here that's still there. It's called Castle Hot Springs. And you can buy, I think for, I saw it on for sale for like $10 million or something. And it used to be an old hotel. Now it's a home and a little oasis out in the middle of the desert, north of what's called Lake Pleasant here. And probably about, oh, it's probably 40 miles northwest of downtown Phoenix, up in the mountains. And you're going just like in the old Western movie. You have John Wayne going through the high red canyons, and then all of a sudden you come across palm tree oasis where a spring is bubbling out. They call it Castle Hot Springs. They build a little castle there. Well, in the back in the 20s and so, Wickenburg, when Wickenburg used to be the big silver mine, which is northwest of Sun City here, the valley, they would have a train that would go there and stop at Morristown, where I have some friends that live. Well, they'd take a wagon train, an actual stagecoach, and they would go to Castle Hot Springs, hang, and whatever. They put their guys up on the cliffs with their Winchesters and so on, had their little meetings, and, they got their little Thompson machine guns and whatever, and we can get to have our secret little Uber meetings. So this is, for a long time, Arizona has been like any other place. You've got the same kind of locations all over the world, in every state. I'm sure there's some, they go meet over there in the valley on the mountaintop in the guy's basement, whatever. Nothing secret about it, except that here in Arizona, it'd be remote. Okay, man, you're out in nothing. And even get there, man, you better have water with you or know where you're going and assured that you're going to be able to drink some when you get there. So Arizona was not, think about it, Las Vegas. That was built on mob money. That was the middle of freaking nothing, but gambling was legal. And here we go, Las Vegas, rose out of the desert. Well, the same kind of thing here in Arizona, but we had access to water, diverting, and reservoirs, and this and that, and so on. They had a lot of agriculture. Now, there was also mining, agriculture, and sunshine. So there was a lot of things that were going on here that was worth being in control of. And a lot of it was land. During the 60s, 70s especially, there was an enormous, Arizona was known for land fraud. My wife's a real estate agent. I have my license. We've, learned all kinds of stuff. My wife's the one that does all the work. But I'm just, I could see why they had, you go through the classes and so on, why they have so much regulation, licensing, and fingerprinting you got and all that. We were one of the first to really go through a lot of this, especially as now you're doing the foreclosures and everything. Our court system was done because of this kind of fraud before. You must document it. You must have this. You must. Unless it's the banks that's screwing you, and then it doesn't matter anymore. So that's what's so interesting about a lot of these stories. And one of the stories that Pal Gamble, senior editor of Freedom's Phoenix, put in the magazine. Our magazine that went out this last weekend, man, it kicks butt. And what happened was, one of the articles in there, them trying to get past all of these requirements in the filing of home deeds and such, that was made so clear in Arizona law here, and decades of practice they're trying to sweep away because it gets in the way of the banks. During that time, organized crime started flooding into Arizona. There was a lot of money to be made. They were selling a bunch of scrub land out in the middle of the nothing. You know how it is. It's like, come the ranches of them. We're going to build golf courses and this and that and everything in Arizona IA. And you'd have even, famous politicians, signing stuff. Goldwater got involved in this. They're signing, McCain and these guys, and they're all kind of Arizona and pushing and wrapping arms and legs around certain individuals that they probably wouldn't be none too proud in the age of the internet. And these guys are influencing people, lots of names. You'd have military personnel in the Philippines getting these solicitations from congressmen and senators and stuff here in Arizona for them to do this and go and get, and Arizona love you long time. So this became such a black eye over time that finally they started cleaning it up and things are being taken care of that way. Well, they say, you know, they changed laws and so on. So Arizona got known for a lot of land scam deals. During this, there was also what they called the, oh, I hate to say it, Ryan, I think it's Kemper Marley is what they call it. It was a liquor distributorship here. Well, again, you know, you know, tracks right kind of people. And it was a where the money came from for John McCain. He married into that. His wife is the daughter of this kind of machine that goes back into that. So all the particulars don't really matter other than, you know, somebody's got some financial backing of somebody for something. And, you know, the Democrats, the Republicans, they're all part of the same thing. Now, primarily a lot of these guys were more focused as businessmen in the Republican movement, but they had just as, you know, their buddies they go golf with were doing it in the Democrats at the same time, so it didn't make any difference. In the late 70s, there was an investigative reporter named Don Bowles that worked for the Arizona Republic, and for whatever reason, he felt free to do a lot of research on organized crime in Arizona. As he's accumulating this information, all of a sudden, you know, it's getting to where there's people concerned. They know that who he's been talking to, they know the kind of things that he's finding out, and they definitely don't want it coming out in his articles. So as he's accumulated this stuff, that made him very dangerous. This is why I learned early on that you don't accumulate information. You say it as you know it. When I first started, I did it in email. I did it on my radio program when I first started doing it here. I'm doing it now. And this is why. If I accumulate this information, then it makes me dangerous. Now they got to, you know, take out all y'all, which is why they got to get a hold of this internet thing. You see my point? Don Bowles accumulated this information, and he was asked to a meeting in downtown at one of the hotels in Central Phoenix. He drives up. He's in this car that you see here. Let me put it back up again. He pulls up in the car. He goes in. He's looking for the guy. Not there. Doesn't come, doesn't show up. He goes back to his car, turns it on, and this is what happens to it. Amazingly, he's alive. The first person that gets to him, he's like starting to spouting off names. He's like, man, I know who did this to me, kind of, you know, and he survives over a week. Well, at that time, before the internet, there was a thing called the Investigative Reporters and Editors, IRE.org now. You go to IRE.org, or you just type in the Arizona Project, and it'll blow up all over the place. This is what made them famous. What they were doing is IRE.org was an effort for newspapers and investigative reporters to be able to not have to start fresh every time one of these gangsters or a politician or a prosecutor or a bad cop or something moved from Chicago to New York or New York to Detroit or Detroit to Phoenix. These investigative reporters got together and started sharing information. Don was part of that group. I'll tell you more about that when we come back.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, we got a little bit of dirty laundry for y'all. We need to, keep me from being unalive. That's what we need to do. Now, what we're going to go ahead and do is I'm going to walk you through this. IRE, Investigative Reporters and Editors. So IRE.org. Now, before the internet, of course, they didn't have a .org. What they had was a list of reporters that would share information via telex and so on. All the president's men kind of typing out, doing their scanning files. And they kind of had early versions of faxes. You know, these are big machines that, you know, expensive, and police stations and reporters had access to this kind of stuff. So they would share this information with each other, and they'd go, yeah, this guy names, he goes by AKA, what's his face, and he came here, and there's a picture, and kind of, what, anybody know anything about? Oh, yeah, let me tell you all about him. Yeah, he's the, you know, lieutenant of the sub-commander, mafioso, whatever the heck, and, you know, here's some more information on him. Well, Don Bowles was part of that group. As he's accumulating this information, it got to the point to where one of the, you know, the guy that said was responsible for killing him asks him to come to a meeting. He's not there. He goes out to his car. It blows up. And you look at the car, man. I mean, damn. They didn't expect that boy to be breathing after that one. It's shocking that he was. So he kind of gets the investigation. They're not going to be able to hide this too much. But you got to keep in mind, the Arizona Republic's part of the machine. You know, when it gets up to the high enough levels, they're like, heck no. There's certain things just ain't going to come out. You know what I mean? So they have to put on airs of doing something. So it's a big deal, and they got all the shiny objects out there distracting people from whatever. The investigative reporter and editors, they decide, look, if we're on the front lines, they're going to be taking out and blowing up reporters, we might as well just go home. And we might as well just be done. You know, if that's, we can't do any investigative reporting without getting blown up, then we're done. So they decided as a group and an organization that they were going to flood Arizona with reporters. They came downtown at the very hotel that this happened at, and they rented out an entire floor for months. There was, as I remember reading the book, The Arizona Project, which you go to today's archive show, I have the PDF of it right there. You can read it page by page. And the sequel to it, What's in It for Me, which is PDF searchable, where Janet Napolitano starts showing herself. So what happened was the Arizona Project, as it came to be known, was all of these dozens and dozens of reporters from all over the country that came to defend themselves by doing a complete investigation of what happened to Don Bowles and what he was working on. Because they knew if they didn't do this, they just start picking them off one at a time. And they wanted to make it very clear. You do this to one of us, oh, we're going to come visit y'all. So the newspapers, back when I guess they used to have money, they sent their guys, and they'd have interns. And I did some research on a lot of these people. And I tell you, I just got to tell you right now, a lot of the people involved, especially interns, different people, they all went to work in public relations for somebody that's lobbyists, and primarily for the oil industry. So I just found that interesting as I started tracking down a lot of these interns and so on, because they list their names, and so I started tracking them down. I want somebody that was there. Wouldn't you think? You're doing reporting on this? Hey, come on. None of them. Heck no. Don't want to talk about it. Never did. Every single one of them got some kind of job that was related in some way to government, either lobbying them or inside or something. And people that even wrote the books and everything, oh, heck no. Don't want to talk about it. But the organization IRE.org, man, they'll make a big stinking deal out of the public record of what's on there and how great and wonderful they are because they did this project. Okay, cool. So what I did is I go, all right, give me all the information. What happened was, is that in the late 80s, in the 88 election cycle, was it 80? No, it was 90 election cycle. Prior to that was the 86 election cycle, where Evan Mecham was elected governor here in Arizona. Now, Evan was a Mormon that was very conservative, right? He's like, remember all the Martin Luther King holiday hoopla here in Arizona? He goes, I'm not giving that communist his own special state holiday. The federal government do what they want here in Arizona. We're working. Okay, so people doing boycotts. We don't like Arizona. It's kind of the SB 1070 immigration thing. Here in Arizona, you know, Mecham had to support a lot of people. And then he shoot himself in the foot by saying some stupid racist thing, whatever. And so he was a target. In his campaign in 86, when he was running for governor, the book, The Arizona Project, that was just done by one of the reporters from Detroit, when they did all this investigation and everything, he wrote a book about it. And that book was bootlegged. It was copied and reprinted and spiral bound and whatever. I didn't know this was a bootleg copy until years later because I'd seen it and got copies of it. So I, you know, judiciously hand them out to people that, you know, gave them to me, and I gave them, you know, give it back, make sure I got at least one copy laying around here. And finally, we just digitized and scanned it in because we could. Pal did it, and we put it in. Now it's up forever on the internet. Ha, 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 ha. And then come after me. I would enjoy that. Let's go ahead and have a discussion. So what we did is we go, what was so important about this book that Evan Meekum running for governor in 86 would put this out and printed 20,000 copies of it and distributed it to throughout the state of Arizona so that everybody would know what he was in opposition to, the machine that he was opposing. Well, he won. He gets in. He's governor. Well, so here comes the press. I mean, they went hammering after. They had the gay community after him. They had the this community, that community. They were creating communities to be after him. He wasn't going to get any work done. New. Finally, they charged him with felonies. I think all kinds of stuff, a misappropriation of funds and all kinds of. And finally, the legislature impeached him. Then he was found not guilty. So this is how much power there is in going after anybody that would oppose them using this information. What the reporters discovered when they came here is that they went underground. They were in bars. They were embedded in, you know, on the border. They were going into Mexico. They were, you know, meeting with the fruit pickers. They were talking to illegal immigrants. They immersed themselves in Arizona society. These are investigative reporters and editors that came, a couple from all these newspapers from around the country, and man, they dove into Arizona politics and went, ew. There were homes that had two-way mirrors, that were filming politicians, having sex with prostitutes, that were having parties, that were doing, I mean, names you do know from back then now. This is not disputed. This is not like, this is like, it doesn't happen. You know, this is, they know. You just never hear about it. So what happens is these reporters start finding out how it is that the drug war and immigration is never going to get fixed because too many people make money on it because it's illegal. This is what was being uncovered and so on. As they come to the end of their investigation and they start putting this, because they didn't write any of this stuff for a long time. And that's why they hunkered down and had security and all and on the floor of, and one guy accumulated, they all answered to him and he was the guy that was entrusted with and all that kind of stuff. Now he kept, you know, these card files and file cabinets and locked and surveillance, all kinds of stuff as much as they could for the time. Now keep in mind, it's the late 70s. They warned them not to let the Arizona Republic be part of this thing, that they were part of the problem. Well, they got in a little bit and so on, long story. But what happened was, when they finally released it, it's the Boston Globe, it's Miami Herald, it's the Detroit News, it's the New York, it's LA Times. Everybody's running the stories everywhere except the Arizona Republic. I remember this. I was in high school. What would happen is the Los Angeles Times would take semi-truckloads of the newspapers, ship them here and be on some corner or parking lot somewhere here in Arizona and all over the state and in the valley, and people would drive there to get their copy of the newspaper. The local talk radio stations at the time would read the stories verbatim over the air, and people were stopping on the side of the road during rush hour traffic to sit there and just listen to the stories. It was that big a deal. Oh, what were the stories about? You want to know why the drug war and immigration are never going to get fixed? You want to know why here comes Joe Arpaio from the DEA in the Arizona? You want to know why Janet Napolitano comes here defending crooked politicians and winds up being AG, Attorney General, and Governor? You want to know why? I'll tell you why. We'll be right back. Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. Readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured. Tour.